This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today we are upon page 74, the fourth juz, Surah to Ali Imran. In the previous episode, we mentioned the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning some of the things that took place after the Battle of Uhud, and in particular the Battle of what we call Hamra al-Asad. And that is, as we said, that after the Battle of Uhud, the Quraysh, after they were leaving from Medina on their way back to Mecca, decided to regroup because they realized that they hadn't achieved any of their objectives from coming to Medina and attacking the city of Medina and the people of Medina, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered a number of his companions, made an army, and he sent them to a place called Hamra al-Asad, that they should go and ward off this army of Quraysh if it was going to come back to attack Medina once again. The Quraysh army, Allah azza wa jalla makes them have enough. You know, they've done enough. They don't want to go back into another battlefield and fight all over again. And so they return back to Medina. And Allah azza wa jalla praises the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the iman that they showed and the determination and the steadfastness that they showed despite what had just taken place on the battlefield of Uhud. And then Allah azza wa jalla mentions a number of verses concerning those people who disbelieve, those people who have nifaq and hypocrisy, and the way that they see things and their perspective. And Allah azza wa jalla corrects their perspective for us and shows to us the reality of their situation. Today we begin with therefore verse 181, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لقد سمع الله قول الذين قالوا إن الله فقير ونحن أغنياء سنكتب ما قالوا وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق. Allah has certainly heard the words of those who sneer that Allah is poor while we are rich. We shall record everything that they say, as well as their killing of prophets in defiance of all that is right, and we shall say to them, taste the torment of the scorching fire. This verse comes after the last verse that we took in the previous episode, and that was the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal concerning those people who are miserly and stingy, and they withhold from spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that they're doing good because they're withholding their wealth and keeping it for themselves. They're keeping their money where they think it is, where they think that it's going to continue to accumulate and increase. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, but rather that is evil for you. And that is because Allah will use that same wealth to punish them on Yawmul Qiyam. And we mentioned that even for the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us concerning those people who refused to pay zakah, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will use the wealth that zakah was due upon, that they refused to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will use that same wealth to punish them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Whether that be livestock, animals, whether that be gold and silver or cash, whatever it may be, Allah azza wa jalla will use that to punish that person on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as is mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This verse 181 is similar in that regard in terms of spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but now from a different angle. And this is the statement that is attributed to some of the people that used to live in Medina from the people of the book. And that is that they say that they said concerning Allah that your God must be poor. As for us, we and our God, we are rich. And that is because it is said in some of the narrations in the books of Tafsir that some of them heard, the people of the book in Medina, they heard the verse of the Quran in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who is it that will give to Allah a goodly loan? Or the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, and give to Allah a goodly loan. So obviously, as we know in our religion, from the Quran and from its verses, that when you give in sadaqah, it's as if you are giving a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's not a monetary loan. It's not because Allah needs your money. and Allah will pay you back in money. Rather, it is a goodly loan, a qardan hasana, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is taking your charity that you give to the poor and the needy and is multiplying it in terms of reward. That is, and blessing and so on. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to in that aspect of being a loan. Because when you get a loan, when you give a loan, you get back what you give. Someone gives to you something else. Or in the conventional loan system, which is the riba type of loan, you get back more than what you gave. You borrow someone 10, they give you back something, something which is more. They give you back 15 instead of 10. That is haram in Islam. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says in terms of reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you multiple rewards. So yes, you gave that £100 in charity to the poor and needy. Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted that charity from you and increased it in reward. And he nurtured it in terms of its reward. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla will give it back to you. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when someone gives sadaqah, Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts it with his right hand and he nurtures it. Nurtures that sadaqah and charity just the way one of you nurtures a newborn animal. So just say you have, for example, a flock of sheep and there's a newborn lamb or cows and there's a newborn calf and so on. You look after that calf, right? You will feed it, you look after it, that child that you need to look after because it's part of your livestock, part of your animals that you want to therefore want it to grow up and be healthy and so on. You give it extra care and attention. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla does with sadaqah. He nurtures it in that way in terms of the reward that a person will receive. So when some of the people of the book, they heard these verses that Allah is asking for a loan and so on, they said as a way of mocking the religion, of sneering, of looking down and humiliating the religion, they said, oh, your God must be poor. Inna Allah faqir. As for us, we're rich. Our God doesn't say to us, give us loans and so on, so your God must be poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds and he says, سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا. We will record that which they say. وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. And we will also record the fact that they killed their prophets in defiance without any right. وَنَقُولُ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. And for that they will be told to taste the torment of the fire. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these statements of theirs, plus everything that they did before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would hold them to account for it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 182, ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. This is on account of what you stored up for yourselves with your own hands. Indeed, Allah is never unjust to his servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is as a result of what you have done. So the torment of fire that you will have is because of the statements that you have made and the actions that you have committed. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will record all of that down and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you to account for it. And this is something which therefore isn't specific or unique to the people of the book or the non-Muslims, but even the Muslims are included in this. That Allah Azza wa Jalla records everything that we do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us to account for our deeds and our actions and our statements and so on. Allah Azza wa Jalla will hold us to account. And therefore, we will also suffer the repercussions of what we did. If they are good, we will be rewarded. If they are evil, then we may be punished. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that this is the reality also for those people who made these types of assertions. And it is from the worst of manners and etiquettes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person would say something in to that regard, that Allah is poor, that Allah is in need, that Allah lives in poverty. These are abhorrent terms to ascribe to the Lord of the creators and the heavens, the one who owns all of the treasures of the universe, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 183, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْهِدَ إِلَيْنَا أَلَّا نُؤْمِنَ لِرَسُولٍ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَنَا بِقُرْبَانٍ تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارُ. قُلْ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِي بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَبِالَّذِي قُلْتُمْ فَلِمَ قَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. To those who say Allah has commanded us not to believe in any messenger unless he brings us an offering that fire from heaven consumes, say to them, O Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, messengers before me have come to you with clear signs, including the one that you mentioned. If you are sincere, then why did you kill them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these people who say this concerning Allah, that Allah is poor, that we are rich, that Allah is in need, that Allah is in poverty, these are the same people who said that we were told that we shouldn't believe in any messenger or prophet until he brings forth charity or something which will be consumed by a fire that will come from heaven. And that is a lie. Because that sign is one of the signs that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent his messengers from. It is not the only or exclusive sign. So for them to say that we were told that we should only believe if the prophet of Allah or a messenger of Allah brings this sign, that is untrue, it is false. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets and messengers with many signs. He sent prophets with signs like Musa alayhi salam, with all of his signs of the staff and splitting the seas and the locusts and the frogs and so on. And he sent other prophets with signs like Isa alayhi salatu wasalam of curing the blind and the leper and bringing back the life to dead and so on. And he sent our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam with his signs such as the Quran and the splitting of the moon and all of the various miracles that he was given sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Yes, from those signs, for some of those prophets was that they would be, that their charity or that their offering would be consumed by fire. And we know that in the times of the past, or the prophets of the past, when they would fight battles and wars, and they would have their spoils of war that they would accumulate, they wouldn't take from it themselves. But rather what they would do is they would gather it together, and if that jihad and that fight or that fighting in Allah's cause was accepted by Allah, a fire would come and it would consume the spoils of war. And that meant that their jihad was accepted. And if no fire came, it meant that their jihad wasn't accepted. But for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the things that Allah gave to him as unique to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِنِ, that Allah made the spoils of war halal for me and my ummah. And so therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would distribute that wealth. No fire would come and take it, rather he would distribute that wealth and it would be given to the Muslims. So this claim of theirs is false in the sense that it's something which every messenger and prophet must bring. It is a sign from the many signs that Allah Azza wa Jal sent. It is not the only exclusive sign. And then Allah Azza wa Jal refutes this assertion anyway by saying, قُلْ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِي. Then say to them that indeed prophets came before me, بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, with clear signs, وَبِالَّذِي قُلْتُمْ, and with the very sign that you yourself are asserting, meaning the sign of the fire coming to consume the offering. فَلِمَ قَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, then why would you go and kill them after this? And so these people, as we've said before, as Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in various verses, in the passages that we've already mentioned, for example in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that these people didn't really want to truly believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather they were looking just for excuses and justifications and ways of being able to evade having to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though they know clearly from their scriptures that they should have believed. They know the signs of a prophet and a messenger. They know the signs that Allah Azza wa Jalla sends with prophets and messengers. They know the signs of revelation that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they chose to ignore everything from those signs and instead find ways that they could circumvent or change or find a way to evade believing in the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse, he consoles the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ. If they reject you, then so have other messengers been rejected before you, even though they came with clear evidence, books of wisdom and enlightening scripture. This is verse 184. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't be disheartened by their rejection. Don't be saddened by their rejection of you, because this is the way that they always are. فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ, because if they rejected you, فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ, then many of the messengers who came before you were also rejected by whole groups and swathes of people from their respective nations and from their ummas. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted guidance for everyone. That was from the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the things that you see from his beautiful character sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which shows the character that he had and the worth and the value of this man sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is one of the hardest things to have, and that is to constantly want good for others, and not just a small amount of good in a small limited way, but rather good that is on a general scale, that is on a major scale, that is good that is continuous over the period of a person's life and beyond into the next life. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite all of the personal harm that he suffered, despite all of the personal attacks that he suffered sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the number of his close companions that were killed and martyred by the enemies of Islam, when those people then came to accept Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was willing and allowing for them to come into Islam, and he would pardon, and he would forgive, and he would show forbearance and patience sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because imagine that the person who comes to you today is the very person who killed your father, he killed your uncle, he killed your son, he killed your spouse, he took your wealth, he took your land, he oppressed you, he injured you, he tortured you, he persecuted you. All of those things have raw emotions. They cause a great deal of harm and pain, and that is harm and pain that lasts for a lifetime. It's not something that you forget after a day or a week or a month or a year. That is something which is raw and it continues with you because of that type of harm. But now some of those people are coming to accept Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ would give them their religion. He would allow them to be Muslims, and he would accept them as his brothers, and he would pardon and forgive and forget, and he would honor them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why I said that this characteristic shows the quality of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we all know that if someone was to harm us in far lesser ways than the way in the ways that the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were harmed, and then that person was to come and apologize, ask for forgiveness and pardon, that would be very difficult to accept at a personal level. That would be something difficult to do. And even if we say yes and we accept, for many of us, we would find it difficult to then re-engage with that person, to make them a friend, to honor them, to show good towards them. We would just simply say, it's okay, it's fine, and then just kind of try to avoid them, not really get into any situation with them. But the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their role model, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, did more than this. They would go out of their way to make them feel welcome. They would honor them. They would assist them. They would be with them. They were like brothers to them. And that is how the Prophet ﷺ wanted this type of guidance for everyone. So we see when the Quraysh eventually accept Islam, this is how the Prophet ﷺ is with them. When the people of Taif, Thaqif, when they come and accept Islam, this is how the Prophet is with them. So this was his character. And so when people would reject him, when people would mock him or ridicule him, this is something which saddened and grieved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now they're saying that the signs that you bring are not good enough for us. Rather, we want this specific sign. They are demanding from Allah to send them a specific sign. And Allah has the ability to do so, but it is a test for those people. Because Allah does not listen to their commands. They don't hold sway or authority over Allah Azza wa Jal that He has to listen to their commands. Allah gives them clear signs that if they were sincere, they would know that this messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they're insincere, then they will make these false excuses as they are making. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal is saying in this verse 184, فَإِنْ كَذَّبُوكَ, if they reject you, then they rejected those who came before you. جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, all of those messengers came with clear evidences, الزبر, with books of wisdom scriptures, والكتاب المنير, and enlightening scriptures. They came with all of this. They came with everything that they wanted, and even so they still rejected them. And that is because when a person is insincere, they don't really want to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, they don't really want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is going to be their reality, and they're going to reject irrespective of what it is that a person brings forth to them. Allah Azza wa Jal then in the next verse 185, he says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Every day, every soul will taste death, and you will be paid in full only on يوم القيامة. Whoever is kept away from the fire and admitted to the garden will have triumphed. The present world is only an illusory pleasure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, giving to us the reality, and that is that each and every single soul shall taste death. There is no person that lives upon this dunya except that they must taste death and they must die in this world, in this life of the dunya. Every single human, prophets, messengers, awliya of Allah, believers, disbelievers, everything must die. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says elsewhere in the Quran, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything upon it will perish, and only the face of your Lord, full of nobility and majesty and honor, will remain. And that is why even the Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who has of yet not suffered death, he will come down towards the end of time, as is mentioned to us, as he is from the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah. He will come down and he will live for a period of time, and then he too, alayhi salam, will die in this dunya. That is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying in verse 185 of Surah Ali Imran. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every single soul shall taste death. So everyone dies. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recommend that we remember death. He used to say, remember the destroyer of pleasures, death. Because it's something which helps you to focus, to reprioritize, to have greater perspective when you know that you're going to die. And the trap of shaitan is to deceive us about death, that you will live for 70, 80 years, that you have plenty of time, that death won't come upon you suddenly, that you may not die in your sleep, that you may not be struck down by a terminal illness or disease tomorrow. All of these different things that shaitan gives to us, and we think that we have plenty of time. And even if none of that stuff happens to you and you do end up living for 70, 80, 90, 100 years, look at how fast that time goes. How much of that time just slips by without us really accomplishing anything good for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every soul shall taste death. If anyone was to have been saved from death, it would have been our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If anyone was to have been saved from that type of difficulty, it would have been the most beloved of Allah's creation to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla says elsewhere in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. You will die, meaning O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they too will die. That is the reality of this dunya. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to recommend that you go to the graveyard, that you look there, you listen there, you spend time there pondering over your own reality. Today we bury our parents, our loved ones, the people that are close to us, the members of our community, and tomorrow it will be our turn and they will be burying us. Anyone that's been, for example, to Mecca or Medina, to the two harams there, more or less after every single congregational prayer, they have janazah prayers, because everyone wants their janazah to be prayed in Mecca and Medina in the two harams. And so there you see that reality over and over again. But sometimes it is also easy to become disconnected from it, or for it to become the norm, because you're constantly praying those janazahs. You have to go and you have to understand that reality. And every time someone passes away, it should be a reminder and a lesson for us in terms of our own fragility of life and its temporary nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And you will be paid in full on يوم القيامة. Whatever you earned, of good or bad, reward or punishment, you will be given that full on يوم القيامة. So therefore, what is success? What is success and what is failure? فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. Whosoever is removed or kept away from the fire, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and entered into paradise, they have been given and granted success. They have triumphed. So the opposite meaning therefore is also true, that whoever is turned away from paradise and enters into the fire, then they have suffered the ultimate loss. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And indeed, the life of this world is just an illusory pleasure. The dunya and everything in it, from its wealth, from its beautifications, from its adornments, from everything that is contained therein, it is all mata'ul ghurur. It is temporary deception. And so we gather this wealth and we spend our lives accumulating all of this money and trying to build an empire for ourselves, and then we leave and none of it really matters. It's taken by others, it's used by others, it benefits others maybe, but does it really benefit us? Not necessarily. Especially if it was earned in a way that is halal and spent in a way that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so we have to be mindful of the dunya and its temporary nature and the permanency of the next existence of the hereafter. And so the intelligent one is the one who works for what is permanent and not so much for the what is temporary, as opposed to working for what you know is only temporary and ignoring what you know is permanent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 186, the final verse on this page, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. You are sure to be tested through your possessions and your persons. You are sure to hear much that is hurtful from those who were given the scripture before you and from those who associate others with Allah. If you are steadfast and mindful of Allah, that is the best course. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is the reality of the dunya. That Allah azza wa jalla will test you in terms of yourselves, your lives, your bodies, and in terms of your wealth. And wealth and life is a test, as we know, all of it. Even when it is good, it is a test to see how you will respond. If Allah Azza wa Jalla honors you with good health, honors you with wealth, will you use those blessings in a way that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, or will it make you arrogant and heedless? And when you have calamity and hardship before you, will that also make you come closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla in your patience, in your ibadah, in your character, or will it drive you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And from the harm is that which is external. You will hear harm from the people of the scripture, from the people of shirk, from those around you. They will harm you. They will ridicule your religion. They will mock your prophet. They will mock your scriptures. They will mock the way that you look and the way that you dress and the principles and morals that you have and that you uphold, the character that you have as Muslims. You will hear much of this. So what does Allah Azza wa Jal commend us to do? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا To have sabr. Be patient. Patient upon that harm. Patient upon Allah's decree, patient upon all of the evil that comes your way, patient upon the good that comes in remaining steadfast upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strong in your iman. Patience is extremely important. And taqwa, be mindful of Allah. In every single situation, even when it's to do with your wealth or your life, or people are harming you by the way that they act or what they say, know that Allah is watching you. You have to behave in accordance to the Sharia. So the Muslim is not the one who's just because other people are doing evil and oppression, that they're going to respond with even greater evil and oppression. We don't have that concept in our religion, but rather we know as Muslims what Allah has made halal or haram, and the way that we should conduct ourselves. So even when others transgress and go beyond the limits that have been set, then the Muslim is the one who knows their position because they have sabr, patience, and they have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you have those two things, it is not easy. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says that is from the most azmil umur. It is from the best course, or it is from the issues of high determination, high aspiration. And that is because to be constantly patient and constantly mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal, especially in those times of difficulty, is not something which is easy, but rather requires a great deal of self-discipline, of turning to Allah Azza wa Jal, of dua, of trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ibadah. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us that. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.